we come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled, God Positioning His People, a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the Book of Ruth and the Book of Esther. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
Hello. It is good to imagine all of your faces out here and look at all the places where we would normally have people sitting. And I see Susie Rodriguez there, Nancy Oseguera, names that I will forget if I keep trying to name people. And but I want you to know that I am so thankful that we have this kind of technology to do this. And it's just so good to be with you today. I want to remind you that the scripture writing plan is going to be available for April 1st, and it's available on the Women's Page Facebook, the Heart to Heart Facebook page, and I'm not sure what other ones that it's on, but if you would like a copy of it and you are not on that, please would you just, you can email me at joy@refugefamily.com. We'll get you a copy of it, or we'll get all of these out to you so that you can invest your time while you're at home and get into the scripture writing plan. And also, the scripture writing plan is on contentment. So we're going to have some need for contentment, don't you think? We're going to have a little bit of need for that. And so here we are. We're from our homes participating together, the good things of God. I'm so thankful for technology and how to do. I'm learning how to do new things. And I'm so excited. I did ask Brooke if she would ask you to stand when we did worship. And the reason that I ask you to do that is because I want these moments to be exactly as if you were here. I was looking at someone else's directions at another church in another state, and they were giving the directions for Sunday morning. And they said, on Sunday morning, get up, get yourself showered and dressed, get your breakfast, do everything that you normally did when you were, you know, if you were going out. And then when it's time to leave, your trip is to the, you all make your motions to the couch or to the area that you're going to be watching from. You stand during worship. She said that they take a moment for you to prepare your offering. And so you're teaching your kids at that time. You're teaching your kids to be able to do that same thing and why it is that we go to church. And then when they stand up and greet each other and do all the things that we did at church within your own family. So your family there is your little bit of church. I know all of you talk to the people that are right in your section. And yeah, so that's what you're doing with your family. And then get your Bibles out, have your Bibles out, take notes, do all the things, stand for the last song, and then afterwards, do some fellowship amongst your family. So I think it's a great idea. I don't know. I just, I think it's a great idea. So one problem that I have is that our internet at home has gone AWOL, and someone has to come to the house. Bless their hearts for coming. And I could hear in the voice of the guy that I was talking to when he was trying to fix it remotely, and I could hear the moment where he realized, I am not going to be able to fix this. I'm going to have to send somebody out, and they are going to be upset with me because that person is not going to be able to come out right away. So sure enough, they can't send somebody out until Thursday. So here's the deal. I'm so thankful for the technology. On my phone, I can do my email. On my phone, I can do all the other things. I can look up other things. I don't have to have the internet to be able to do that in my house. So how am I going to handle this whole thing of not being able to do what I want to do in my own house and not have that internet? How am I going to handle it? I'm going to handle it the same way I'm handling everything else right now, one day at a time. Just knowing that God is in control. What use is it for us to get all upset about it and make somebody else feel bad because they can't deliver what we want them to deliver? They're going through the same thing that we are. They're trying to stay at home, but these guys have to go out into somebody else's house. So I want to have some, I want to be able to witness to that person. And if I lose my temper in those situations, then that closes that off for me. So, Lord Jesus, I just thank you, Father, so much for the privilege that we have of gathering together, the whole church, all over this United States, all over, some that are watching even in other countries, Lord. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that you have opened up the doors for this. I thank you for that little email that for the Instagram that I saw that said that the church is not empty. The church has been deployed. And we are out doing the things through the internet that you have called us to do. And so, Lord, within our family as well, I pray, Father, for an anointing of your Holy Spirit as we move through chapter 5 of Esther. And, Lord, we pray for your blessing. I pray for a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that I would only speak those things that are yours, and yours alone, Lord, that you would be glorified. At the end of the day, it's all about you, Jesus. We pray for the doctors. We pray, Lord, for the nurses that are on the front lines. We pray, Lord, for you to protect them. We pray, Father, for all of our leaders that are attempting to lead us in this unprecedented thing, Lord. The world has not been here before that we know of. And so, Lord, we're just trusting you. Father, I pray that the leaders would have a trust for you, in you, so that they can lead with you, Lord. And so we thank you, Father, for the way that you are working through us. Help us to be submissive to your Holy Spirit, Lord, and to do the things that you would have us to do, and to seek you on the things that we want to do, and find out if that's what you want us to do. So we thank you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so here we are in chapter 5 of the book of Esther, and I know you have your Bibles in front of you, and you're treating this just like any other Bible study that you're going to be at. You're not going to be up multitasking and doing all the sorts of things while you're listening, right? Right, right. I'm going to give you a second. If that's what you were doing, I'm going to give you a second to just kind of stop your multitasking. So remember back in chapter 3, Mordecai tells the people that he's a Jew, but Esther has kept that information to herself at the leading of Mordecai. And remember, we talked about Mordecai being that type of the Holy Spirit and how he was working and watching over and caring for Esther. It was in chapter 3 that Mordecai refused to bow to Haman, and Haman set up his schemes to destroy not only Mordecai, but the entire Jewish people on the 13th day of the 12th month. And so Ahasuerus gives, you remember that Ahasuerus gave his approval to this scheme without even investigation, without even asking Haman, so what's going on here? What's happening here? Let me see before I give you a yes, before I give you that approval. And I would say to you, I would say to myself, find out if this is the way that God wants you to go. Investigate things. Don't just go blindly into things and think that, oh, well, I just, I want to do this, and so I'm going to do this because I think this is the right thing to do. Take the time to invest with the Lord and see what God would have you to do. And so Mordecai hears of Haman's plan and puts himself in sackcloth and ashes and fasting. He urges Esther to go before the king to plead for her people, the people she wasn't identifying herself with. Those are the people that he is asking her to stand up for. And Esther faces a crisis. Now here's the crisis. Will she identify with the Jews, with God's people, and risk death? Or would she keep her identity a secret and risk death? So either way, she's risking death. So let's go. She decides to go in the way of identifying herself with the Jews. But by faith, Esther chooses to identify with God's people. And so she, Mordecai, and all the Jews in Shushan fast for the 3 days. And on the third day of the fast, Esther decides that it's time to take action. You see, it wasn't even the full 3 days that they were fasting. On this third day, the Lord spoke to Esther, and she moved on what he told her to do. So on the third day, God spoke to Esther about what she should do. They hadn't even finished that fast yet. Now, it happened on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace across from the king's house while the king sat on his royal throne in the royal house facing the entrance of the house. So I'm curious, on the third day of the fast, why did they fast? Why do we fast? Many of us want to lose weight, or we jump on the bandwagon when somebody else is fasting. But God has a chosen fast for us. And when it is God-chosen fast for us, then we have the opportunity to come alongside of what God is doing and hear more clearly from him. And so if you are interested, there's a book called God's Chosen Fast. It's Arthur Wallace. It's old. And I did look it up, and you can get it for $3 or $4 if you want to get it and have it delivered to your house. But this fast was chosen by God. Esther needed direction, and she needed others to come on board with her. She needed direction from God, and she needed the help of others. She needed other people to come alongside her. We need other people to come alongside of us. That's why we're keeping in touch with each other in any way that we can. Some of us are even using the mail. Oh my goodness, we're even getting a stamp on an envelope and writing something down. Esther needed direction, and she needed others to come on board with her because their lives were on the line just as much as hers was. So she put on her royal robes. She prepared herself to meet with the king. Now let's take a look at that for a moment. For a moment. Either way. So she prepared herself to meet with the king. We prepare ourselves to meet with the king when we come before him with thanksgiving, with praise, and with confession of our sins. That's how we prepare ourselves to come into his presence, with thanksgiving and praise and confession of our sins. And then we are clothed with the royal robes of righteousness. It's those royal robes of righteousness that come upon us. I think that the king saw her coming and said to himself, there's just something different about this woman. And I submit to you that what the king saw was the glory of the Lord. Esther had been in God's presence. She put on her royal robes, and I would say to you, she put on God's glory. And that's what the king was drawn to. In the story of Joseph, when he was in a foreign land in Genesis, it says that God was with him. And God, though unseen and unmentioned, is with Esther as well. So God's glory comes on us when we have invested time with him, and it's irresistible to man. It is irresistible to man. I'm telling you, take that time to invest with the Lord in your quiet time. Take that time of personal praise. Take that time of personal confession. Take that time of personal thanksgiving. And when you come out of that closet, you're going to be like Moses. You're going to have to cover your face. You're going to be shining so brightly because people are going to see Jesus on you. And that's what I certainly want for people to see. In verse 2, and so it was when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court that she found favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther that golden scepter that was in his hand, and then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter. I would say to you that this scepter represents grace. This is grace. He put out that scepter to her, and that she was able to touch it. Proverbs 21:1. How is my mouth not working? I'm in here almost all by myself. How come my mouth is still not working? I don't have anything to distract me. In Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, like the rivers of water. He turns it wherever he wishes. So if you're wondering who's in control here, it's God that's in control. It's God that's in control. Why would the king lower the scepter to Esther? You remember, she has been in God's presence for nearly 3 days. She's fasted, and the others have fasted with her. And being in his presence, like I already said, makes us look different. We look like Jesus. People see Jesus. I submit to you once again that what the king saw was the glory of the Lord, and he had to know more about this woman. The king is curious as to what in the world would have caused this woman to risk death to come before him unannounced and unsent for. He has not sent for her into his throne room. What is it that is on her heart that would cause her to come in? And the king looked at her and is wondering, what would have brought this? And I would say to you, God was with her. And in verse 3, and the king said to her, what do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given to you up to half the kingdom. And so what do we have here? The king offers Esther basically a signed blank check. And as I wrote that down, I realized that there are a number of people that are probably listening to this that you have never made out any check at all ever in your life. And so what does this mean? A signed blank check. It means that the person that will provide has put their signature on it, and they allow you to put your name and your amount on there. And then also, it could be likened to he gave her an almost limitless credit card. An almost limitless credit card. It said to half my kingdom. What we have from God, we are joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. That's what he's offered to her. This reminds us of what God said. My God, in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. And we need to hear that today. My God and your God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory. His riches in glory. He will give you all that you need because Ephesians 3:20, he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what he wants me to be. God is speaking that to someone right now, this very minute. And he wants you to know that he is able to accomplish in you what he wants you to be. He is more than able to accomplish what concerns you today. You're worried about your food. You're worried about your rent. You're worried about your job. You're worried about a number of things, and I want to tell you, God is able. He is able to accomplish what concerns you today. And I know that that's a that is a word from the Lord just for you who are listening. And so he is able. God is neither enriched by withholding nor impoverished by giving. Ironside said that God is neither enriched by withholding, and it's true for us as well, nor impoverished by giving. I am neither enriched by withholding from others, nor am I impoverished by giving. God has called me to something more. Verse 4, so Esther answered, if it pleases the king, let the king and Haman come today to the banquet that I have prepared for him. Now, I want to look at this. If it pleases the king, let the king and Haman come today to the banquet that I have prepared. That word stands out to me. I prepared it for him. I prepared. It's past tense. While Esther was fasting, God revealed to her his plan. His plan. God revealed to her his plan. Remember when she was going back and forth in chapter 4, what she would do, what she would not do. Can I do this? Can I not do it? Also in chapter 4, she settled it in her own mind. If I perish, I perish. It doesn't matter. If I perish, I perish. That's her resolve. And now she has her plan, and she's putting it into action. During that time of fasting, because she took the time to prepare herself and the banquet, all of the pieces will fall into place. Even, yes, the banquet was prepared ahead of time. She knew that she might die when she went before the king. And she would die by the king's hands. But she went ahead and she made her plans and executed them anyway. Why? Because God said, I want you to put on this banquet. And so when God tells you to do something, I got to tell you, do it. Well, but if I do that, then they're going to respond this way. They're going to do what God tells you to do. Let him take care of how it's responded to. That's not your job. That's not my job to decide what somebody else is going to respond to. My job is to do what God's called me to do. And so she went ahead and she made her plans and she executed them anyway. Her attitude and her heart was like James. If the Lord will, we will live and also do this or that. James 4:15. If the Lord wills, we'll do this or we'll do that. God is in control. You can rest in that. You can have a peace in that. Now, no good king will ever pass a banquet, but notice that she has also invited Haman in verse 5. Bring Haman quickly that he may do as Esther has said. So the king and Haman went to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And so the enemy of her people, she's inviting the enemy of her people. This makes no sense to me. God, why would you have me do this? I've been fasting, I've been praying, I've been seeking you. And now you're telling me to do this. It doesn't make sense to me. And God says to me, it doesn't need to make sense to you, Joy. You just need to do what I've told you to do. It doesn't have to make sense to you. Just do what I've told you to do. Haman, as it turns out, is just like the enemy of our souls, Satan, who always overplays his hand. He always overplays his hand. He will always overplay his hand. And at the banquet of the wine, verse 6, the king said to Esther, what is your petition? It shall be granted to you. What is your request? Up to half the kingdom, it shall be done. And then Esther answered and said, my petition and request is this. If I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, then let the king and Haman come to the banquet, which I will prepare. I will prepare. So now, before, She had already prepared it. She was following God's plan. She already prepared it. Now I will prepare it. And it's going to be tomorrow. I'm going to prepare it for them. And tomorrow I will do as the king has said. Her petition, come to another banquet tomorrow that I will prepare, and then I'll tell you my request. She must know that she has, at this point, that she has the king kind of in the palm of her hand, kind of at a place where he's softened to her. And why? Not because she was a beautiful woman, not because she said it in the right way, but because he saw God in her, and because she was following with what God had told her to do. And he would see God on her. God was with her. And so God will protect her and care for her. In verse 9, so what about Haman? Haman went out that day joyful and with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, and that he did not stand or tremble before him, he was filled with indignation against Mordecai. Oh. He goes beaming out of Esther's banquet. And can you see him in your mind's eye? But just by the way we read it, all that excitement comes to a screeching halt when he sees Mordecai sitting in the gate. He's sitting in the gate. He's not standing. He's not bowing. He's sitting in the gate. He's not worshiping me. And that's exactly what Satan does. Worship me. Worship me. But no, Mordecai, that Jew, he would say, Mordecai, the one who, along with his entire race, will be exterminated soon, but it's not soon enough. Haman wished for Mordecai's death much sooner. He wanted it to happen much sooner. He composes himself a little bit, verse 10. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself, and he went home, and he sent and called for his friends and his wife, Zeresh. And then Haman told them of his great riches, the multitude of his children, everything in which the king had promoted him, and how he had advanced him above the officials and servants of the king. Moreover, Haman said, verse 12, besides, Queen Esther invited no one but me to come with the king to the banquet that she prepared, and tomorrow I am again invited by her along with the king. Oh, yay! He composes himself, he goes home, and he does what any humble, sane man would do to calm his homicidal rage. He calls together his wife and his friends, and he brags about himself. Do you know who I am? In case you don't know who I am, let me inform you. There's nothing like a person to show off their insecurities as when they start bragging about themselves. It just shows. I was thinking about the death of a salesman when he told his family, I have a lot of friends, and at my funeral, everybody is going to be there. Everybody. I am a well-liked man. In his mind, he was a well-liked man, but at the funeral, nobody showed up. And the son said, he just had all the wrong dreams, Mom. He had all the wrong dreams. And so here he is building himself up and into those things. You notice that he said, my great riches, my multitude of children, my promotion by the king, my advancement above the officials and servants of the king. Besides, Queen Esther invited no one but me to come in with the king to the banquet that she prepared. And tomorrow, I am again invited by her along with the king. He's trying to build himself up. He's boasting about himself and his promotion and what he's going to do and all of his wealth and what's going to happen. Yet, verse 13, yet all this avails me nothing so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. His countenance falls as he's reminded of Mordecai just sitting at the gate. Why won't he worship me? And that's what happened to Satan. Why won't you worship me? I want to be God. We can't be God. I'm sorry. So, do you remember when King Ahab pouted when Naboth, based on religious principle, based on what God had told him, refused to sell Ahab his vineyard? Do you remember Ahab's wife's name? Jezebel? We know about Jezebel. She's become the classic example of an ungodly woman in Scripture. Jezebel hatched a plan to get Naboth's vineyard for her husband by the same method that Haman's wife and friends want to use. Death to Naboth, the man of religious principle, the man who did what God told him to do. Mordecai won't bow to Haman out of religious principle. He won't bow to Haman out of the word of God, because God said, you don't bow to anyone else, only to me. And that infuriates Haman. Haman goes home and eventually pouts to his wife and his friends. And along with his friends, they form a plan for him to rid himself of his problem. Then verse 14, then his wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, let a gallows be made 50 cubits high, that's 75 feet, and 75 to 80 feet high, and in the morning suggest to the king that Mordecai be hanged on it. Then go merrily with the king to the banquet. Okay, murder someone, and then go merrily on your way. Sounds like a plan to me. Sounds like Jezebel's plan. And the thing pleased Haman, and so he had the gallows made. 75, 80 feet, isn't that a little overboard? I would say that it is, but then sinful human wrath and vengeance can get pretty out of control. When we harbor vengeance and we harbor our anger, it gets out of control, and it shows up to other people. And so we deal with it. We deal with it now. We deal with it in the midst of what we're going through right now. How am I going to deal with my anger? How am I going to deal with the fact that I don't get to do what I want to do? How am I going to deal with this? Are people seeing Jesus, or are they seeing you? And I want them to see Jesus in me. So that's what Haman wants, an extreme end to this foe of his who refuses to bow to him. So rather than wait until the 12th month for Mordecai to be killed, he makes his plan to kill him right away. Let's be done with it. Haman had no reason to believe that he would fail. He had absolutely no reason to believe that he would fail. Haman has the king's ear, and he has the king's respect, he thinks. You see, we think in ways that are not always true. He thinks he has the king's ear. He thinks that he has the king's utmost respect. But God is in control. Pride comes before the fall. But what if Haman kills Mordecai before Esther is able to fully make her plan known to the king? What if? Oh, God, what if that happens? Do you ever get involved in the what-ifs? What if this, and what if that? What if this horrible thing happens? What if that terrible thing happens? Well, what if this good thing happens, and what if this good thing happens? Let's look at the what-ifs being, what if God did this? What if people came to know Jesus because of all the things that we've gone through right now? What if there was a revival because I walked through this situation in a way that brought people to Jesus? What if that happened? If you want to deal with the what ifs, that's the what if you want to deal with. Remember in the beginning of our chapter, it said that after they had fasted and prayed, God has got this. And God has you too. You are not going to be overtaken. You feel like you're going to be overtaken. You feel like, you know what, this is going on too long. I can't handle it this long. Probably you can't. But you and God can. You don't stand alone. you stand with the living God. Is God calling you to fast and pray for our current situation? I've just been kind of thinking, and I don't know, I've just been kind of thinking lately about Nineveh. And I've been thinking that this nation, Nineveh, that was so evil and was ready to be destroyed, fasted, prayed, put on sackcloth and ashes, and repented. I don't know. Just a thought. I don't know. Let me know what you think about that. My email is joy@refugefamily.com. So let me know, what do you think about that? So is he calling you to fast and pray for our current situation? If he is calling you to do that, don't put it off. God has great plans for us, and we just need to use our time wisely. We have to stay home. We've been asked to stay home. And because we've been asked to stay home, and we haven't been asked to give up our religion, we haven't been asked to give up our Bible, we haven't been asked to do, we've just been asked to stay home. We haven't been asked to go to war, we've just been asked to stay home. So yet, let's use our time wisely to seek him. This is, if you haven't done scripture writing before, this is a great time to start doing that. And just see what God will show you in the area of contentment. During this time where everything feels like the what ifs and what can't, oh, and I don't know, and what, how am I going to handle it, and I can't sleep, I can't eat, I can't do anything, and I can't find toilet paper anywhere. God's got this. God's got it. One of the greatest things, I was talking with someone yesterday, and one of the greatest things about being old is being able to tell people, you're going to get through this. You're gonna get through this. You're gonna come out the other side. God's got this. You and God can do it. God is in control. He's still on the throne. So let's gather ourselves together and pray and seek his face. Do it over the phone. Do it. Pray together. However you pray together. If you use Zoom, if you use FaceTime, if you use just the phone, if you write down your prayer requests and mail it to somebody and they mail theirs to you. It doesn't matter. Let's pray together and let's see what God will do. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for this chapter, this little tiny chapter that looked like it had so little in it. Lord, calls us to be more than we are, to be more of a commitment to you. Lord, to walk in confidence in you, to trust you more, to rely on you more, to love you more, to tell others about you more, to use what we have to bring glory to your name. And so, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. I pray for these people that are watching right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, that you would anoint them afresh with the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, that you would fill them to overflowing, Lord, with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Lord, that people, their neighbors, other people that they talk with in whatever way they're talking with them, that they would see something completely different about us. Lord Jesus, give us the strength to turn our eyes upon Jesus, look full in your wonderful face. Because the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. And so, Lord, anoint them fresh with the power of your Holy Spirit to be the people that you have called us to be. We love you. We praise you, Lord. And we want you to get all the glory. And at the end of the day, when we've come through all of this, we'll say, I thought I'd never make it, but look where I am today. Look what I've learned. Thank you, Jesus, that you don't just let us grow up however you want us to. We're not to our left to ourselves. You have taught us all along the way. So, Lord, bless them. I pray, Father, that you would provide for their needs according to your riches and glory. Father, that you would let them know your presence with them. Draw them close to you, Lord. And we're praying for revival. And I thank you, Lord, too, that you have answered some prayers that we have been praying, a group of us have been praying for some time now, that this church would be responsible for 24/7 prayer. And Lord, I have news now that no, they're not all in here. They're not all getting phone calls in here, but there is prayer going on from this church 24/7. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for that answered prayer. And we bless you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And you will see me next week. God bless you guys. Jesus, we worship you for all you are.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495. Giving up.